The message for this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Let us turn to God's Word, and I shall read for you. You may follow in the Bible wherever you are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a very small book before Timothy. All right, beginning at verse 33. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Amen. Thank God for his precious word. Dearly beloved worshiper, I wish you a hearty good morning. Welcome to Galilee Worship Service. Thank God for all beloved Galileans, young and old, worshiping with us this morning. Although I cannot see you in the empty pews in the sanctuary, I'm familiar with where you normally sit in God's house and can imagine you sitting there. We also welcome on board all dear fellow worshippers, young and old, from near and far, from whatever church, from whatever location, wherever you are. Praise God for moving you to join us in worship today. Although I'm not able to see you physically to welcome you in person to God's house this morning, to greet you personally, yet by God's grace, I'm so glad we are able to worship our Almighty God with fellow Galileans and other worshipers electronically. Thank God for this modern arrangement. And I want to say a thank you to God for the ingenuity and dexterity of our church pastoral staff and BOE and church session. And thank God for the technical skills of the PA team of Galilee Church for improvising this arrangement. Thank God also for the musicians and singing teams who still zealously continue to serve our God wherever they are. God knows each one's heart of love for him, and he will reward us in his own good time. And by God's grace, I'm able to preach to you this morning. Despite the imposition of the COVID-19 circuit breaker on us in Singapore, how privileged we are today to have the freedom of worship in our country, to worship our Lord God Almighty in peace and without public disturbance. We worship the one and only true and living God, our blessed triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Although we cannot see each other as worshipers, praise God for this blessed opportunity to worship God with one another in our various locations. Thank God that our Almighty God is Spirit, who is omnipresent and can be worshipped wherever we are. We need not be assembled together in a particular building or at one location. I must admit I'm not used to preach to an invisible congregation from this pulpit. But our Lord knows best, and he is still with us wherever we are. Although we are not able to quote from Psalm 122, verse 1, where the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We cannot. But we thank God that our God is all-seeing and all-knowing and all-powerful. In Psalm 139, verses 2 to 7, the psalmist said, "Thou, O Lord, knowest my down-sitting. You know where I'm sitting. Thou knowest mine uprising. You know when I get up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Yes, O God, you are aware and able to discern my thoughts, even before my thoughts are formulated or whilst they're being formed." Verse 3, "Thou compassest my path and my lying down." In other words, you have analyzed my habits of business and relaxation. You are acquainted with all my ways. God indeed is familiar with all our behavior. Verse 4, "For there is not a word in my tongue. Even before the words are formed on my tongue, lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You already know what I'm going to say." So, beloved, this morning, although we are not gathered together in God's house, we thank God that we worship and serve a God who is ever-present and everywhere present with us. Let us therefore worship the Lord according to John 4, verses 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, where John writes, "The hour cometh, and now is." That's true. "When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Verse 24 tells us, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In other words, it is not just your physical presence, it is not just your body being present in church or in a location, but it must be in your spirit. The spirit is that part of you which communicates with God, and you know it. When you worship God in spirit, you know you are getting through, and you know that God is hearing you. And it must be done in truth, not in a lackadaisical fashion, but with sincerity, with earnestness, in truth, and desire to draw near to God and to please him. To worship God in spirit and in truth is very important. It means to worship God with our innermost being, our total being, and in truth. Yes, the way we stand, the way we sit, the way we pay attention, yes, the way we stand to sing or sit to sing, all this shows our respect for God. To mean what we say and sing during the worship service is important. We are worshiping the blessed triune God. We must not go through a worship service as a formality or simply go through the motions or rituals of a worship service. We can sometimes be present in church, and yet our minds and our hearts may not be present in the worship service. But this morning, I just remind you, challenge you, we may not be in church, but we can still worship our God. Thank God for this privilege. Our God knows what we are doing, and he will bless us accordingly. Let us therefore worship him in spirit and in truth. So this morning, wherever you are, in whatever building, whatever location, let us give to God the true worship worthy of him. Let us give to God our utmost attention. Let us draw near to him with all our heart and mind. Give ear to his word. Take heed to his commandments and do them. Let us lay aside all our distractions and other duties. And let us be praying for one another. Pray for the preacher. And pray for your own self that you will be receptive to God's word. And when the right time comes, give your offering. The topic for this morning's message is good news for God's people. Good news for God's people. How appropriate. Yes. How appropriate a topic this is in light of the current novel COVID-19 pandemic. It is not just an epidemic. An epidemic is just a widespread occurrence of an infectious disease confined in a certain community or country. That's an epidemic coming, showing forth, a disease showing forth. But this is a pandemic. Pan means all, demic means people. That means it hits many people, all people, in many countries, in many territories in the world. So, the World Health Organization has called it a pandemic. And as at Thursday night, 28th of May, COVID-19 has struck down more than 33,000 persons in Singapore. And it has also affected more than 213 countries and territories in the world. That's a lot. I don't think I've heard of this number of sick people in Singapore or sick people in the world. Yes, I was told that there are now 5,920,000 people who have been affected worldwide. And of this number, yes, 362,000 have died. But thank God, nearly 2.5 million are recovering. This is a huge number of deaths. Yes, it's almost like a military war. What a worldwide dilemma. It is an ongoing catastrophe, and the sad part is nobody knows when it will end. A World Health Organization officer had announced over TV that they have no vaccine currently. And he said, not likely to find a vaccine till September 2021. Another doctor has said COVID will last for 2 years. No one knows for sure. It is out of any country's control. Hence, it is called a pandemic. I am quoting what has been reported. I'm not starting any rumor. But this morning, I want to encourage all of us through God's word. We have good news for God's people for such a time as this. And what is the good news? We want to focus on our total sanctifier. Secondly, our total sanctification. Thirdly, our total hope, namely the second coming of Christ. And fourthly, our total surety, none other than our Lord Jesus. What is good news? Good news is best described as the news that gives us hope. The news that assures us of the most appropriate solution or answer or antidote for our bad situation. When we are in trouble or facing challenges greater than we can handle, we need help. And when we receive assurance of that help, that is good news. For example, when you have a toothache and you need a dental surgeon, by all means, go and see. And if that surgeon is able to fix an appointment for you, to attend to you, to relieve you, that is good news. Good news for a bad situation. When you have inadvertently backed your car into the drain or mud, and you're having difficulty getting it out, and when you're told that your friends are on their way to help you out, That is good news. Or when the strangers by the road help you lift the car out of the drain or mud, thank God they were right there. What good news to tell your friends of God's provision. When a loved one is sick, yes, and you call a doctor friend who agrees to come and diagnose and treat the patient, that is good news. When we travel to a new country and get lost, you don't know your way to the next location, the exact destination, you're lost. That is bad news. But when God provides a kind stranger who's willing to fetch you or direct you to your destination, that is good news. Yes, sometimes we end up in a financial crisis. Why? Our baby was delivered with complications which caused more than we anticipated. But some kind uncle came to help us pay. That is good news. Beloved, good news is what is for a bad situation. And the better the news is when you have a worse situation and when you are in a desperate situation and you get the good news, it is indeed the best news. All right, good news is news that helps us bring relief or helps to bring relief to us in our predicament. When we meet a situation greater than we can handle and we are desperate and someone is willing to come and help us, how we thank God for that good news. Beloved, right now the world is in a bad situation, not only in Singapore. Indeed, there is no peace. There's no concord, there's no unity. Strife is going on. Yes, leaders of countries are pointing fingers at one another, blaming one another, casting suspicions and doubts upon each other. Yes, the suffering is not only locally, but worldwide. We are still locked down in our homes. Yes, and we are locked down from traveling. Not only that, our jobs have to be changed. Some have lost their jobs. Our special functions could not carry on. Weddings had to be postponed. Celebrations had to be postponed. Yes, a lot of happy events could not be celebrated. Birthdays and anniversaries that we generally celebrate with our family and loved ones and friends in restaurants, all this could not. Instead, we had to practice social distancing. Instead of getting closer together, we are told to sit apart, stand apart, make sure you don't contact each other or get too close to each other. Make sure it is 2 meters away so that your germs will not spread. Beloved, what a strange situation. I have not gone through something like this before. So, beloved, something is strange is going on. Yes, this is a pandemic. The leaders of the nations are perplexed and they have no antidote, no vaccine, no answer. No good news for their people or for the nations of the world. But how about us? How about you and me? Thank God that in Singapore, although the number of victims is large, more than 33,000, thank God that our death number is less than 20. This is marvelous. This is unusual. So although population-wise per thousand, we are actually near the top of the chart, but because the number of deaths by percentage is so small, yes, we thank God for His protection on the people in Singapore and all the victims in Singapore, and we thank God for the cooperation of the patients and the government rules and the care of the medical people. All right, that is good news. that the number of patients in Singapore is low. Indeed, this morning, I want to thank God for the leaders of our beloved country who have made a wise decision to introduce a circuit breaker. Thank God for our Prime Minister who announced the circuit breaker, for our multi-task force who explained the reasons why, for our Deputy Prime Minister who announced the unity, resilience, solidarity, and fortitude budgets to help employers and employees and citizens in Singapore tide over this difficult period. Thank God for our President who concurred with a proposal and agreed to release the huge amount of relief from our national reserves. Thank God indeed for our astute and clear-thinking leaders of our country. And thank God for our compliant and obedient citizens and residents. Indeed, we have all benefited from the wise circuit breaker, and we are all looking forward to the resumption of our normal daily activities as soon as possible. Are you? Or are you saying, oh, so nice, locked in the house, work from a house, no need to travel, yes? No need to change into nice clothes to go to work. I just relax. Is that you? I hope not. I hope you are desirous of going back to work. Yes, I know teachers have been teaching from the home, yes, and we church workers working from the home, trying to communicate with our congregation, members of the church, and people who need help through telephones and ATMs and SMS and whatever. But beloved, there's nothing like getting close to each other, praying together, reading God's word together, and seeking the will of God together. So I hope you are earnestly hoping to get back to work. Meanwhile, let us go by God's word and acknowledge the ministers of our country that God has given to us. In Romans 13, verses 1 to 7, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. We thank God. So we are not to resist that power, not to resist the ordinance of God, for they that resist shall receive damnation. So rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the powers that be? We are to do that which is good, and when we do so, we will have praise from the government too. Verse 4, he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So I hope all of us who are listening to the message this morning, we will be obedient citizens, compliant, yes, and ready to obey the rules of the government, to respect them, yes, and to thank them and cooperate with them. Thank God, no Galileans have got COVID and no Galileans have been charged in court for breaking the circuit breaker. A special word of acknowledgement and thanks should also go to the frontline workers. I met one of them at the fence in Galilee Church when she was plucking bunga telang from our fence. That is to help her to relax. And then the COVID breaker struck, and I haven't seen her for quite a long time. Yes, thank God for all these frontline workers who have slogged doggedly, relentlessly for the past 2 months and more, attending to the sick, caring for 33,000 residents. Thank God. All these who were unwell and having to be housed in improvised exhibition halls, hotels, hostels, and ships and hospitals, to be attended to by doctors and nurses and medical staff. Yes, all dressed up. Can you imagine how uncomfortable to be dressed in oversized raisin coats, almost like space suits, with all the masks and the goggles and whatever, with all the, having PA systems stuck in the back and so on. I tell you, it's so difficult. Thank God for each one of them, for their willingness to sacrifice. Yes, wearing masks and additional gear for protection. And think of all the housekeepers and the food providers and the sanitation staff who have to clean up, who risk their lives and health and experience prolonged separation from their loved ones while they served on the front line, people whom they don't know. All for the love of their fellow countrymen. Thank God for each person who served God and country and their fellow countrymen, including strangers from other countries. That is love exemplified indeed. So, beloved, let us give credit where credit is due to our ministers of state and frontline staff, whether medical, military, social workers, food preparers and food distributors, and cooks and drivers and servers. They sure took care of our physical and educational and medical and economic needs. Thank God. But how about us at church? Is there something you have to thank God for? Is there any good news? What has God done for you? He's a sanctifier, our God of peace. He's the provider. He sanctifies your body and soul and spirit. Actually, it's the spirit first. Spirit, soul, and body. He looks after your total body, your total person. Yes, not only spiritually, but physically. Has God taken care of you, provided for your needs, especially when you were in a desperate situation? Has God met you when you were in need? Beloved, thank God for those who cared for the sick and sad and suffering at Galilee. Although we could not attend the funerals of Brother Michael Wee and Madam Sung Sam Hock, mother of Stella Fong, we could pray for the bereaved and convey our condolences through the phone to the bereaved ones. On my part, I thank God for those who visited Pastor online, checked on my health, asked after my welfare, and chatted with me. And mysteriously, one day an undertaker stopped by and brought me some food. Unexpected. The next day, a pastor from another church dropped by and said, "I'm delivering food to you from another person." Thank God. Yeah. So God seems to provide us food. On another day, a relative promised to send food by 11:30 to 12:30. But the food was delivered not till 1:30. And our lunchtime was 12:30. Poor Mrs. Heng was hungry. Out of the blue, an elder of Galilee Church sent his children to deliver food to us. Exactly at 12:30. And so, praise God, Mrs. Heng got her food on time at the exact spot. Isn't God amazing? He knows our every need. That is good news. Beloved, when God meets us at our point of need, out of our desperation, that is wonderful good news. By God's grace, I keep healthy, walking within the church gardens, watering and manuring the worthwhile plants. There are many kinds of plants, including weeds. We harvest the fruits and the vegetables and enjoy evening walk with Mrs. Heng in our church garden. There is more time to read God's word and pray and counsel people with SMS and a phone. God is amazing. Yes. Our papaya trees had something like 45 papayas that came to fruition when we desperately needed them. And now, almost at the end of circuit breaker, we are almost down to zero, but fresh fruits are coming out again. God is so amazing. He provides so timely. Yes, really, our God is amazing. I hope you will plant fruit trees. Yes, because when come times of desperation, you will need that. Easiest to plant is tapioca. Yeah. You just put it in the ground and it will grow. Sweet potatoes also. Meanwhile, pastor was able to carry on counseling over the phone, near and far, and send videos around the globe to friends and fellow believers. And thank God, I was able to send messages to witness to the unsaved and was able to continue to witness to workers who checked us in the hospital, as well as the medical staff who took care of me, including the doctor. Why not? Since he's so kind to look after my physical health, let us reciprocate and look after the medical staff's spiritual health. So I give them tracts, I give them books, I give them notes. Yes, pray for them that they will come to the Lord also. And thank God that during this period, at least two persons prayed with me to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Hallelujah! Good news for them, good news for me, good news for the church, good news for the angels in heaven. For the Bible says, even the angels rejoice when a sinner repents on earth and turns to God. So, when was the last time you made the angels in heaven rejoice? Beloved, let us really spread the good news, not just for ourselves, but to others. All right, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23-24, the Apostle Paul writes, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." He is focusing on the sanctifier, the one who keeps us holy and pure, separate from sin, separate from unbelief, separate from the filth and scourings of the world. Beloved, the Bible reminds us, without holiness, no man shall see God. Why? Because our God is holy. Yes, and the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who, which is, which was, and which is to come." Yes, our blessed triune God is holy all the time. That is His chief characteristic. Yes, He is pure, He is holy. Yes, He is loving, He is gracious, He is kind, He's gentle, He's compassionate, but God focuses on holiness. And the Bible tells us God wants His people to be holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, God says to us, "Be ye holy." Yes. You who are going to be my people, be ye holy. And Hebrews tells us, without holiness, no man shall see God. So God is our total sanctifier. Yes. And at the same time, He's called the God of peace. The word peace is tranquility, concord, unity, no strife. Beloved, when we get to heaven, no strife. Peace. Yes. We are all loving each other, at peace with one another. No discord, but concord. How wonderful. And God says all this is to start on earth. So this morning, we focus on the good news. What is it? We have a total sanctifier, none other than God Almighty Himself, who is a holy God and who wishes to impart holiness to His children, to His people, and to all who hear the gospel and are willing to turn to God, you can be sanctified. Yes, you can be a beneficiary of the good news. Thank God, no Galilean was sick with COVID as far as I know. God took care of us. We still carried on with our worship services on Zoom. We still carried on with our Bible study classes and prayer meetings on Zoom. We still carried on praying for each other and counseling cases in need through SMS and video talk. Yes, thank God for those who ministered and for those who led souls to Christ. Praise the Lord. Beloved, life went on quite normally. We ate, we slept, we worked, we exercised, we prayed. Many of us carried on with our jobs. Yes, we read God's word and counsel through the phone. So God kept us safe spiritually. Yeah. But Paul's prayer for the believers at Thessalonica was total sanctification, not just spiritual life. And by the way, spiritual life is not just confined to Sundays. When you're coming to church, then you say, I'm going to meet with God. I better dress properly. I better meet God and put on the best behavior. And then, how about the rest of the week? Beloved, I hope no one is deceiving himself. Our holiness is not just meant for Sunday during worship service. Our holiness is not just meant for Bible study and prayer meeting sessions. Beloved, God expects us to be totally sanctified at all times. You say, huh? Is that possible? How can I make it? Well, this is Paul's prayer for us. And let us take heed. God wants total sanctification because He's the holy God. And when we are holy, how precious and joyous is that fellowship. God wants to sanctify or keep us holy. Not only the believers at Thessalonica, but God wants all Galileans, all worshipers who are listening this morning to be sanctified. To keep a person holy and separate from sin exclusively for God. To be kept holy in spirit, spiritually, in relationship with God. In other words, no idols. Yes. Not take God's name in vain. Keeping God's day holy. Keeping His commandments. Spiritually right with God. No pride. No doubts. No fears. No worries. Because all these are unbelief, lack of faith. And Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, are you sanctified spiritually? Clear of your doubts and fears and worries and unbelief? Our God is the God of peace. Yes. And He will give peace to those who trust in Him. All right? So He wants us to be pure in soul, in our relationship with others. Do not plan harm to our fellow men. Yes. No envy. All our sins start from the heart. Out of pride. Out of envy. Out of jealousy. Out of rivalry. We want to be first. We want to be chief. We want to be preeminent. And so, in our relationship with others, we tend to compare, we tend to measure ourselves, and when we find ourselves short, we try to overcome. And that is dangerous, because that is where sin starts. James chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that. From whence comes fightings? It's from the heart. Yes, when there's rivalry, and when your wisdom is not the godly wisdom, but the earthly wisdom. Yes. So this morning, God wants total sanctification, not only in relationship with God, but in relationship with our fellow men, churchgoers, yes, friends at work, friends at school, friends in the neighborhood, strangers whom we meet. We are to love our enemies. We are to love strangers. How much more? We are to love our friends and fellow church members. So, beloved, this morning, God wants us to have total sanctification. And the good news is provided for through the Lord. The God of peace is whether we want to take it. Third, the total hope that we have. This world is actually going downhill. Yes, Bible is very clear. In Matthew 24, yes, Bible tells us the signs of the last days. And I think as Christians, we ought to be alert. Don't just look at the world situation, but look at what the Word of God tells us. Matthew 24, verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, going to be lack of food. So I encourage you, plant vegetables. Don't just plant flowers. And pestilences, strange diseases, yes, are all going to come up. And earthquakes in diverse places. Cheer up. This is only the beginning of sorrows. Yes. And then they will deliver you to be afflicted. Yes, there will be punishment. Well, there will be, yes, sad to say, persecution of Christians. Luke chapter 21 tells us likewise. Luke 21, verse 25. Yes. Well, if you backtrack, 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword. They shall be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem will be drowned, trodden by the Gentiles. The heathen countries will come and circle Jerusalem. Yes, but verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and the earth, there will be distress of nations. The nations are confused. Which leader to choose? Which leader to follow? Which leader of another nation to believe in? Whose word can we trust? Remember, everybody is vying for superiority. And so they will tell lies. Yes. And the Bible says, there'll be perplexity. The sea and the waves are roaring, the hearts of people. Verse 26. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Yes, there'll be a lot of uncertainty, frustration, and fear in the world for looking after the things which are coming on the earth. Why? The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The powers of the heavens refer to all the rain and precipitation, all the rainfall, all the winds, all these are going out of control. Yes. Sometimes we get rain when we don't expect it. Sometimes we get heat waves when we don't expect it. Bible tells us all these are coming. But cheer up. For us, verse 27, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Yes. And when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads. Beloved, don't look down. You're already locked down because of COVID. So don't look down at COVID and say, wow, the disease is getting so bad. But the Bible says, look up. Look up to the sky. That's where the Lord is coming. He's coming in the clouds of glory. And the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up. We meet the Lord in the air. So, the Lord tells us, look up. Yes, look up. Verse 28, and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So what is the good news? When we see all this happening, COVID is one example. This strange, mysterious disease, COVID, coronavirus disease. Beloved, don't focus on coronavirus disease, but let us look to Christ, omnipotent, victor in death. Yes, our COVID stands for C for Christ, O for omnipotent, all-powerful, victor in death. So don't dwell your mind on disease, but dwell your mind on the victor over death. And John 19 verse 30 tells us, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. What is finished? The price for our sin, the penalty of our sin has all been paid for. It is finished. And so he gave up the ghost. He died. He gave his life to pay for our sins. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead to show us that death has been conquered, sin has been paid for, and Satan has been defeated. So, beloved, that is the total hope of the Christian. So, the second coming of Christ. And then the last point, Paul tells us, yes, faithful is he that called you. He's our surety. He's our guarantor. He's the one who spake and everything was made. John chapter 1, very clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He spake, and it came to being, and it came to pass. He is our surety. Faithful is the one who called you to believe in him, to call you to trust in him, to call you to be a believer, to call you to be a child of God, a heir of his, and a future heir and inheritor of heaven. Beloved, that is the good news for God's people. So this morning, let us be very clear. We have a total sanctifier. Yes, we live in a sinful world, but we have a total sanctifier who will keep us pure for himself. We have total sanctification. Focus not just on your spiritual life on Sunday, but total person. Yes, body, soul, and spirit, or rather spirit, soul, and body. It is the spiritual that governs all the other areas. And then spiritual, soul, and body. Total sanctification. And our hope, our total hope, second coming of Christ. And our total surety, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, this morning I hope we will not just keep the good news to yourself. Yeah? Bible tells us very clearly, there are only two kingdoms. Go around and tell people. Are you going up or down? Be prepared. Bible tells us people try to prepare their own way to heaven. All their works will not work. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. And the Bible tells us the bridge will collapse. Man's made bridge of his own righteousness and goodness will not work. But the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. That is the way to heaven. And the Bible tells us how this Jesus came into the world, and then he was going to die on the cross to pay for our sins. So, beloved, we must be very clear. This Jesus died on the cross, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, and after 40 days, he ascended into heaven, and the Bible tells us one day, Jesus is coming. And when he comes, believers will be caught up, and those who are not believers, they will go to the lake of fire. So, beloved, this morning, are you clear? Have you accepted the good news for God's people? If you have, don't just keep it to yourself. Tell it to others. The hope of Jesus coming is only for believers. Is your loved one a Christian yet? If not, he will be left behind. So this morning, I pray that God will move your heart. You will go around and tell people the good news, that Christ is the only way to heaven. Because the good news for God's people doesn't stop there. The good news for God's people is to be extended to as many as who want to believe him. So if you have any non-Christian friends, please tell them, give out tracts. Pastor has got a lot of tracts in this church. Please give them. Tell them the good news. There are 5 steps to salvation. Yeah? And make sure they know the way to heaven. So this morning, may God speak to our hearts. You are a believer? Praise God for your hope. Not yet a believer? I hope you will pray to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And if you are a believer, not only thank God for your salvation, but promise God, I want to obey your commandment and be a witness for you wherever I go. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your great love for us. We always marvel at your matchless plan, your eternal, unchangeable, unchanging plan for man's salvation. How you prepared heaven for us, and how you were willing to send your Son to be the one who will make the way for us to go to heaven. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for having died on the cross to pay for our sins. Yes. And Lord, we are looking forward to your return so that one day you will catch us up into the sky to be with you in heaven and there to dwell with you for eternity. Thank you for this glorious hope and help us to be willing to share it with others. We pray all these things in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.